Hello, and welcome to the Cloud English Podcast. My name is Luke. It is March 31st, 2015. Great to have you here. We have a lot of things to talk about. I am once again coming to you from my home in New York State. And, well, we're going to talk about English grammar today, which is an exciting topic. Exciting? Maybe that's the wrong word. What's the right word? It is a topic. It's an important topic. I think that's maybe a better word. Because if the problem with grammar, I think, is people think of it as this thing that you learn in school and that you don't really need. Sometimes you resist it, right? The fact is, grammar is the glue that holds words together and makes them make sense. It is the thing behind syntax. Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. It is what makes meaning when we speak. Because if you just say single words or random collections of words, then meaning is lost. So putting them in the right order and knowing how to change them and knowing how changing them changes meaning is why grammar is important. And I want to, hopefully, if you have the thought of, I don't want to learn it, it's boring, tell you that you already know it and you already use it. And the thing that you have to do is get better at it. But getting better at it doesn't have to be this boring thing. It can be a simple matter of observing, of repetition, of paying attention to patterns, of immersing yourself in the language. And, you know, it doesn't have to be this horrible thing. So we're going to be talking about three main things. I'm going to teach you an interesting method for picking up new grammar without having to learn grammar words, which I think will be very interesting. We're going to be looking at how we can... What was the other thing? Oh, we're going to be looking at how to use conditionals. The zero, first, second, and third. Ooh, yes. A juicy topic indeed. We're also going to be talking about some myths that people say about grammar, things that you must not do that actually, you can do. So I'll be dispelling some silly, silly myths about English grammar. At the top of the show, just a few things. Pardon the sniff. Oh, I've got tissues right here. This is great. I didn't even plan that, but I have tissues right there. Amazing. What else do I have around me? Let's see. What do I have around me? Of course, women's one-a-day prenatal. Very important. A source of iron. What else do I have? I'm not going to pick out everything, of course. I have some Chanel. Looks like concealer of some kind. Nice. And hand salve, gardener's hand salve. Oh, you know what? My knuckles are feeling a little... Whoa! This hand salve has chunks, bits in it. It's got stuff in it. Rub it on your knuckles and moisturize a little bit. It's, you know, still kind of dry this season. All right. That's good. What else? So I think maybe you can realize that this is not my normal office because... I don't, you know, it would be, why would I have prenatal vitamins and Chanel concealer if it were mine, I suppose. All right. What was I saying? What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. A couple things at the top. If you haven't done so already, you can like and subscribe. That's a very simple thing you can do to support the show in a very big way. So please do that. Also, you can join the Discord The Discord is a great place to just stay up to date on stuff that I'm putting out, whether it's courses or videos or podcasts or whatever. And, oh, yes, you can also get 30% off the monthly membership for 12 months. So that's the price of the yearly membership, paid monthly. The only thing you don't get with that, I will say, is a one-on-one evaluation with me. Some people don't know that, but if you sign up for the one-year membership, the first thing is I sit down with you, we have a call, and we talk about your goals, what you should really focus on, the order of the courses that you should take, one-on-one. So that's something that you get with the one-year membership, just so you know. And that gives you access to all the courses for a year. Oh, yeah, and it's Easter. It's Easter. Happy Easter, if that's your thing. Easter. I haven't celebrated Easter in many, many years. But I have fond memories of hunting for eggs on Easter. And that's about it. And flying kites. For some reason, I feel like flying kites is a common tradition on Easter. Is that right? Let me search this. Is flying kites an Easter tradition? Let's see. Generative AI answer. Yes, flying kites is an Easter tradition in Bermuda. Oh, where it's celebrated on Good Friday. The tradition is believed to have started when a Sunday school teacher used a kite to explain Jesus Christ's ascension to heaven. How did Jesus get to heaven? Why, a kite, of course. He used one of those jetpack suits that the military uses. You know those? All right. So let's get into it. Welcome from Facebook. We do have live viewers, so welcome to those watching live. I suppose if you have questions, you can ask. I'll do what I can. If you hear any baby noises, that's because there's a baby in the other room. So, pardon. But you know what? Deal with it. It's baby sounds, the best sounds in the world, right? All right. So we're going to start with some common myths around... We're going to start with common myths around English grammar. The things that we're told that are wrong. And then the correct way, with examples, of course. So let's hop into that. So we're told things by our teachers. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. One of the things that we're told, and we're going to go through five things. One of the things that we're told is that we should never end a sentence with a preposition. So ending a sentence with for, of, from, around, with, by, this kind of word, right? Where do I know you from? Is that wrong? Well, no, it's not. First, I'll just say it's not wrong. But then you might ask, okay, well, some things are spoken English and some things are okay when spoken, but not okay when written. So what if I'm writing something, an email, for example, and I say, where do I know you from? Is that wrong? Also not wrong. So this idea arose in a book of... Let's say etiquette, grammar etiquette, I believe in the 19th century. And this guy was just giving his, honestly, when you boil it down, his opinion. And a lot of people grabbed onto it and started saying that this is right, that it was authoritative. And yet, when they spoke and when they wrote, they would still use prepositions at the ends of sentences. So technically, it would be, from where do I know you? Which sounds crazy. No one will say that. So, Where do I know you from? Is totally fine. In fact, there are tons of sentences that can use prepositions at the end. I believe you can completely ignore this particular myth. So it's often way more natural to use it at the end than using it at the beginning. What are you looking for? For what are you looking? Which one sounds better? Obviously, what are you looking for, right? Okay, the next one. Splitting an infinitive. You hear people say, do not split your infinitives. Okay, so what is an infinitive? Well, that's where you have a verb and then two, and it's often acting as, for example, a noun. So if someone says, I like to walk, then like is the main verb of the sentence, and walk is not the main verb. Walk is acting really as the object of the sentence, or it's acting as the, what's the word? Acting as the complement of the sentence, of the verb. So we could replace to walk with that. I like to walk. I like that. I like it. Okay, so it's an activity. This is treated as a noun. That's an infinitive. Now, if someone says to regularly walk, so you added adverb inside of the infinitive between to and walk, to regularly walk. Or you could add multiple words. This is called splitting the infinitive, where you add stuff between the to and the verb. In this case, to and walk. I like to regularly walk. Well, you would hear people say, well, it's wrong because you should say, I like to walk regularly, which is also correct. But people will say, I like to regularly walk. It is a myth. Often, it is totally natural and correct to split infinitives. Again, don't worry about it. It's one of those things. So it can often clarify the meaning and improve the, which is important, rhythm. So the rhythm is how it sounds when you speak, the cadence, right? And that makes a big difference because you want to obviously sound natural. It's important to freely express oneself. So to freely express, to express oneself freely, to freely express oneself. I think it makes more sense to put freely there where it is to freely express oneself rather than saying to express oneself freely. There is even possibly a difference in meaning or connotation when you do that. So truly, a myth. Busted. Next, we have three more. They. Can they ever be used to talk about one person? Now, putting aside the recent trend of they as a common non-gender specific pronoun, apart from that, they is still a common way to talk about one person when gender is unknown or unspecified. Typically, we think of the word they as more than one person, multiple people, right? They, them. As so, them would be the object, right? And they would be the subject. He, him, she, her, right? It. It's the same for it. So when would we use, if they means usually more than one person, when would we use they to talk about one? Well, if someone calls, tell them I'll call them back. They called you back. Well, if I don't know who they are, right? It could be Nancy or Steve. I have no idea. Then I don't know because, or I don't know because nobody told me, or I don't know because there's no extra information. Then it's totally fine to use they and totally natural to use they. Okay? Another very common thing. So when you're not sure about gender or there's no information about whether it's a boy or a girl, use they. Use they as singular. And of course, you can use it for plural things. Plural meaning more than one. So I have three cats. They, those three cats, they, more than one cat, right? Now, if it's one cat and I don't know the gender of the cat, would someone say they? No, probably not. If it's an animal, like a pet, and we don't know the gender, some people will just assume it. For some reason, I noticed people tend to say she for cats and he for dogs. Oh, what's his name? They don't know if it's a boy or a girl dog. They'll say, what's his name? Or if it's a cat, oh, what's her name? That's not a rule. I'm just saying that's an observation I've had. But you could say, what's its name? You could. You could. It's not wrong. Okay. Starting a sentence with and or but. Normally, we think of and, but. These are conjunctions. These words, these are, by the way, called coordinating conjunctions. And, but, or, nor. Not subordinating conjunctions, which would be like, although, right? So for coordinating conjunctions, especially, you could say or, but let's say and but. We are taught, no, do not start a sentence with these. But you can, absolutely can. Especially when it comes to, well, writing and speaking, but I believe to have an impact when you're writing, you need to have variety of sentences. You need to have good syntax. Syntax is the variety of structures of sentences that you use when you are, the variety of sentences that you use when you're trying to explain something, when you're writing, right? And so if you have more variety and not every sentence looks the same, that's good. So this is a perfect example. This is a perfect example. But the truth was far from simple. But the truth was far from simple. After we've made a statement, it can be very natural to do that, right? And it's refreshing. So that's a sentence I just started with and, right? That's okay. Or it could be in the middle, but generally it works at the beginning too. Finally, what about the passive voice? What about the passive voice? What is the passive voice? Well, the passive voice is when you start with the object of the sentence and then you say the verb and then the subject. So, simple sentence. The bank was robbed by Ken. Ken robbed the bank. Which is active and which is passive? Ken is the subject, the one doing the action. Robbed, verb, the bank, object. The object, we could say, kind of receives the verb. Now, if we say the bank was robbed by Ken, then now we're changing the phrasing a little bit. Was robbed instead of robbed. And the bank is first, then Ken? Why would we do that? Well, we're told generally passive voice is bad. Never take these rules too seriously. If someone says never do this, well, there are always exceptions. There are exceptions to almost everything. And so anytime you hear a rule, always say, well, yes, okay, but maybe not. Always do that, because rules are made to be broken. Sometimes you want to do things that may not be common, right? So just be aware of why you are doing that. So be aware of why you would say the bank was robbed by Ken. Well, if Ken's not interesting or important or the topic of this story, then actually, the interesting thing that happens is the bank being robbed. And so it's better to say that than Ken robbed the bank. In fact, often when we use passive voice, we're using it because we want to focus on the object of the sentence, not the subject. And the subject is so uninteresting or unimportant that we just delete it. So instead of saying the bank was robbed by Ken, we say the bank was robbed. And we delete the object. Now, sometimes, and this that we have an interesting example here. We delete the subject, excuse me. If both are important, but maybe one is the focus, then we can keep both. So the Mona Lisa was painted by Leonardo da Vinci. Well, Leonardo da Vinci is perhaps not someone you want to leave out because he's a very famous painter. So leave Leonardo alone, right? Don't take him out of the sentence. But still, I'm talking about the Mona Lisa, and the Mona Lisa is arguably more famous than Da Vinci himself, perhaps. And so it's not that there's some objective way to figure that out, but if the Mona Lisa is what I'm talking about, then this is a totally normal, natural thing to say, okay? So just remember, when you hear somebody talk about a rule, things that you should do, say, okay, that's very interesting and understand it, but just add it to your tool belt and know that nothing is final and nobody knows everything. And sometimes it's an opinion, not some sort of rule, especially when it comes to language. So hopefully these help you get a better sense for the flexibility of the language and that you now have permission to play around. You do, so do that. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe. And also, get a free course in the links in the description. Good. Hello, Karina's here. Hello. Oh, we have some people joining. Fantastic. Love to see the live viewers. We love the live viewers. We live for the live viewers. Herman is here. JV is here. Grammar Easter. Yes. Yes. I wasn't sure if anyone would want to join live on Easter. People tend to do other things. Although I suppose not everyone celebrates Easter. So maybe it's those people. I see across the street from where I live right now, I'm looking at my neighbor's house. And there are people outside looking for eggs. Because it's Easter. There's some sort of Easter celebration going on. Easter is a very interesting one. It's one of those holidays that has a dual function or dual role. And you'll find, if you look at a lot of Christian holidays especially, that they do have a dual function. That there is a precursor that happens around that time or on the same time, and then the Christian version of it came along and gets kind of, instead of replacing it, layered on top. So, for example, Christmas, okay, you have the baby Jesus being born and all of the story about that, but when you go to a supermarket, well, you don't see Jesus everywhere. You see Santa Claus and reindeer and Christmas trees. Things are red and white, giving presents. How is this a Christian thing? Well, St. Nicholas, right? But it goes back much further. And in fact, Christmas has pagan roots. Much, much, much farther back into the past. It also ties into Mithras, Mithraism, right? So it goes back. With Easter, it's similar. Eggs, rabbits everywhere, chocolate rabbits, Easter, hunting for Easter eggs. What's the deal with that? Well, pastel colors. What is this? What does that have to do with anything? Did Jesus love eggs and rabbits too? He may have. But spring fertility festivals have been celebrated for thousands of years. And Easter is one of those. And for obvious reasons, rabbits represent fertility, eggs, right, represent new life as spring comes and winter ends. We celebrate fertility, new life, flowers, the pastel colors of springtime, of little green shoots popping out of the ground, of daffodils, and so on. So it's interesting how these things kind of get culturally layered on top of each other. And I think perhaps one cynical reason for that would be that it's kind of hard to commercialize, because Easter is Good Friday and then Sunday. So Friday is when Jesus was crucified on the cross, and then Sunday is when Jesus was resurrected and came back to life 3 days later. Nice, but it's kind of hard to commercialize that, right? And if you did, it would be a little suspicious. It would be kind of a conflict there, I think. But it's easy to commercialize rabbits and eggs. So if there is a thing that you can commercialize, it sticks around. Perhaps that's one reason why those things don't fade away, is that it's very easy to sell stuff with the symbolism of things like Santa Claus, reindeer, things like that. Just an opinion, of course. Okay. All right. Let's get into our next topic, shall we? Shall we? JV, egg, rabbit, chicken. Oh, yeah, baby chicks. That's another one. I suppose baby chicks technically would be in the eggs, wouldn't they? Yes. All right. We're going to talk about... Hey, Mary McCain is here. Hello, Mary. How are you? Happy Easter. Oh my goodness, happy Easter to you. What's new? What's going on? Where was I? What's my next thing? Conditionals. Oh, I can't wait to talk about conditionals. The most exciting part about English is conditionals. We love that. All right. And I'm glad that my setup is holding up. It's almost a mobile setup. I can kind of move it around, honestly. It's on a rolling table. It's a little risky to do it, but I could roll this whole thing around. We could do a house tour, I suppose. If Pymander comes in, I can show you guys Pymander. He's growing. He's getting very, very big. Pymander is getting huge. Pymander is the name of my son, if you didn't know. He's gigantic. All right. Icky. So, conditionals. Conditionals, indeed. Oh, let me move this here. We don't want that there. Oh, no, that's okay. So first, let's say what a conditional is. Then talk about the difference between zero, first, second, and third. With examples, of course. So a conditional. Conditional. I think a simple way to remember a conditional is just to remember the word if. It's such a powerful word. Think about how powerful the word if is. The entire structure of computer programming, apps, is kind of built on top of the if concept, right? What happens if this is selected or that is selected, right? There are two paths. If allows you to create a path. Right, a path to the left and a path to the right. Now, the interesting thing about if or conditionals is that if you really think about it, there are quite a few different types of ifs. Some types of ifs are sort of deep ifs, and those ifs are always true, right? So that means that these two things are connected somehow. And we'll look at examples, but a simple example would be, if I'm hungry, I eat. And that is sort of something that's just true about me. It's actually not true about me. I often don't eat when I'm hungry. But if that's a person, if there's a person who thinks that, who feels that way, then that is true about that person. It's almost like the fact that they have arms, right? It's just a true statement about them. It has nothing to do with time, right? If it's in the past or the future, it doesn't matter. But then sometimes we want to talk about the future, where something could happen. And then if it does, what will happen next? And that's also just a thing that will happen, not a maybe, right? It's definite, it's certain. But then it gets really interesting when we start imagining possibilities. We start using our imaginations to think about things that may never happen in the future, right? To wonder, if I were living on the moon, okay, well, then I can imagine some things that would be true about me if I lived on the moon, or I can imagine some things that I would do if I lived on the moon. So there, we're going to use a very powerful word, would. Perhaps we could use could as well, to say that hypothetically, this is a thing that would be or would happen if something were to happen. Okay, we'll get into some examples. And in a similar way, hypothetically, we can dive into the past. The past cannot change, but if it could change, what would be different? We can imagine these things. We can go back into our memories and wonder, what would the world be like today if COVID had never happened? What would be different? It did happen, but what would it be like if it hadn't happened? Okay, so let's explore this. Now that I hope we have a pretty good feeling for if, right? I'm looking down because I'm looking at my board here. I'm looking at my iPad. So let's look at a few examples here. I'm gonna pull up my examples. We'll start with what we call the zero conditional. And I honestly don't think that it is important that we remember if something is 0, 1, 2, 3. I don't care. Just know how to use all of these, because it's very important to know how to do that. However you do it, okay? Just know. So first, if you heat ice, it melts. That always happens. Every single time. Every single time you heat ice, it melts. Wait, one second, please. Hold on. I'm getting a message for someone. Just one second. Sorry, guys. I just have to quickly do one thing. Beg your pardon. We'll get back to the examples. The cost of doing this at home. Okay. Back to the example. Sorry about that. Okay. So, zero. Zero is, like we talked about, when something is just true. Think about it like that. It is just true. If you heat ice, it melts. If you mix red and blue, you get purple. If plants don't get water, they die. Now, you could say, oh, well, some plants don't need water because you don't have to water them because they get it from the air. Yes, there are, I suppose, always exceptions to things, right? But that's not really the point. The point is when you're making that statement, you're not trying to zoom into any specific time. This thing is true when this thing happens. Anytime it happens, past, present, or future, okay? If it's true, then another thing happens or another thing is true. Try to think of a few examples. You can write them down in the comments. You can think of them in your mind. But now, right now, try to think of a couple of examples of the zero conditional, okay? Again, it's certainty. Think of these as going from most certain to kind of least certain or most hypothetical. Okay? Now let's go on to our next example. Okay? Now this one is the first conditional. Oops. Let me change the color here. This one is the first conditional. If it rains tomorrow, we will cancel the picnic. If it rains tomorrow. Okay, so what's different about this one? Well, this one has a time element. Remember, with the zero conditional, there's no time element. Right? With the zero conditional, you could be talking about the past, present, or the future. I don't care. It's always true. It will always happen when this happens. Whenever you mix red and blue, it will always happen. Well, this one is only about the future, and the thing that we're talking about is uncertain, because I don't know if something will happen or not. I don't know if it's going to rain tomorrow. I don't know if I will move next year. I don't know for sure if I'm going to buy a new car next week. I don't know if the market is going to go up or down. I don't know if maybe the book I'm reading is going to change my mind or not. Anything like that, right? I don't know because I'm not there yet. Once I finish the book, I will know if I changed my mind or not. Once next week has passed, I will know if I bought a car or not, right? So if it rains tomorrow, we will cancel the picnic is saying, well, there's something certain. The thing that's certain is if A, C, and if B, D, that's certain. So think of the structure as certain, but the future event is not, because it could be A or it could be B. If A happens, C will happen. And if B happens, D will happen, right? But that is currently unknown. If you study tonight, you will pass the test. Now there you might say, oh, isn't that similar to the first one, or the zero conditional, the first examples we looked at? Yes, it is, but it's all about the phrasing. So you could very easily change that to the zero conditional simply by saying, if you study, you will pass the test. And there, all you have to do is kind of cross out tonight, and then suddenly, right? If you study, you will pass the test. Oh, that's zero. That means anytime you study, you'll pass the test. Well, is that always true? Some tests are harder than others. Sometimes, you know, I'm not sure if you will pass it. No matter how hard you study, there are some tests that have a 5% pass rate, right? These extremely difficult exams that people take as part of their maybe postdocs. Very difficult, right? Well, I'm talking about this one specifically, the one that you're studying for today. If you study tonight, you will pass. Okay. So, yes, you can often easily change something like a first conditional to a zero conditional if you understand both of them. If she saves enough money, she will buy a new car. It's uncertain if she will do that or not. Okay, so hopefully you get the idea of zero and first. Now we get into slightly more complicated territory. Now we start to dive into hypotheticals. Now, what is a hypothetical? A hypothetical is something that we have in our minds, but that may not be connected to a clear reality in any way. Maybe that's because it's so far in the future, there's no plan around it. I don't even know. Like becoming a billionaire, right? If I become a billionaire, then I mean, I have no clue about that. It could happen, I suppose, in the future, but it's so far away, it's like I'm just dreaming. So if you're just dreaming, then you are in second conditional land or third. And that is a hypothetical, right? It's different from saying, if next week, if I don't know, if I get a good score on my exam, I will. Right, it's kind of a thing that will happen or not very clearly. And it's a little different than just imagining. Or when we're imagining things, we could think about things that definitely will never happen. Hypotheticals don't have to be things that definitely will never happen. They just have to be very imaginative, generally not very realistic, right? Or not possible. Like if I ever go to the moon, or if I were ever to visit the moon, well, I suppose if there is, when I'm 60 years old, a moon colony, I could go to the moon. In fact, it's one of my main lifelong dreams is to go to the moon. So, yeah, that could happen. But right now, when I'm saying this, I don't mean it too seriously, and I'm being very, very hypothetical, right? Okay. So now that we have an idea about that, let's look at some examples here. If I were a millionaire, I would travel the world. Now, I could be in the future. I'm not now. If I were, I would travel the world. So the difference here is the word would and were. Now, you don't have to use were when you're making a second conditional. You don't have to. But if I were is saying if it were true about me now. It's not true about me now, right? If I were a doctor, am I a doctor? I'm not a doctor. But if I were, okay, so I'm just kind of imagining that. If I were living in Inner Mongolia, am I living in Inner Mongolia? No, I'm not. But if I were. So it's a way to talk about a fictional present, a hypothetical present. That's not true, okay? Then this would is very important. This is critical. Would is the thing that tells you that it's kind of not real. Would is the thing that allows you to say will, except not real will, right? It's like will. I will go tomorrow. I would go tomorrow. What's the difference between I will go and I would go? I will and I would. Oops. Well, they're the same in basic meaning, except would is hypothetical and will is actually about the future. It is actually connected to the real possible future. I will go to the store tomorrow if it rains. I will cancel, right? And can and could work in the same way. Can means I'm able, I'm capable. Could can be used to mean hypothetically able or capable. If he studied harder, he would pass his exams. Okay. Well, what is this saying? He doesn't. It's not true. He doesn't study hard. But if he did, then he would pass. But he doesn't. So he doesn't. So if, and you could use were here if you wanted, but this is a simpler way to say it, if he studied harder. This isn't just about past exams only. This is making a hypothetical statement. And the reason that you know it's hypothetical is because of the would, but also if he studied harder is not mentioning a specific exam. And in this case, if it were real past about a specific exam, the phrasing would be a little different. It would be, if he had studied harder, he would have passed. That would be a specific exam. This is in general. If we lived closer, we would see each other more often. Do we? No, we don't. But if we did, we would. Okay, so hopefully you get the idea there. There's a lot of variation and variety that you can use with that. If we lived closer, if I were a doctor, if I were a millionaire, if I had 10 Ferraris, if I lived in the city, if I become, to talk about a hypothetical future, right? If someday I visit the moon, I would or will, depending on if you mean it as a hypothetical or a future. The line between them can get a little blurry. You know, just like we can easily change the first conditional to the zero conditional, we can pretty easily, in some cases, change the second conditional to the first conditional, right? It's just a matter of how we phrase it, right? Okay, now let's go to our final one. Our final one is the third conditional. And I think, did I write down second? The third conditional. Now, the third conditional is talking about the hypothetical past and present, usually. So for this one, something did happen in the past or didn't happen in the past. And if it did happen in the past, then I may wonder what would be true now if it hadn't happened in the past. And if something now could be different, I may wonder what that would be and then how that would be connected to the past. It's a way to sort of muse and wonder about different pasts and presents. If I had known it was your birthday, I would have bought a gift. I suppose you could say that too. But I didn't. Now, had known means this is all over. This is all done. I arrive at your house for some reason. And then I find out it was your birthday. It is your birthday. If I had known. So what is that referring to? That's referring to me in the past before arriving here. What I would have done in the past before arriving here, if I had known. So had known is the key phrasing here. This is the past perfect tense. Had been, had seen, had done, right? When we're doing the third conditional, often we are using the past perfect tense to explore something that would have happened. Now, we use this because this thing would happen before this thing, bought a gift, would have bought. Have bought is the present perfect tense. So if I had known is the past perfect tense. And the reason for that is because that one goes before the thing that I would have done. So, okay, let's explore this grammatically. This is a little challenging. I had bought a gift before we left. Let's just take that sentence as sort of a simple sentence. I had bought a gift before we left. So we left is the simple past. We left is the event that happened. When you want to talk about a past thing that happened before another past thing, you often have to use something called the past perfect. The past perfect tense. This one is basically saying the past thing before the past thing, right? And it's also true when it's a past thing before a present perfect thing. So if you're using the present perfect tense, often you will use the past perfect tense to talk about something that would have been before something, I'm getting my head wrapped up. You would use the past perfect tense to talk about what would have been true before another thing was true, right? So if I had known, which I didn't, if I had known, I would have done this, right? Okay. If she had taken the earlier train, she would have arrived on time. That is a simpler way to phrase the same kind of grammar that's going on here. If they had saved more money, they could have bought a house. Remember, we said that could is similar to would, right? But it's the can version of, it's like will, would, except it's can, could, right? If they had saved more money, they could have bought a house. Now, you can flip all of these around and do the same thing. So, if they hadn't saved more money, they wouldn't have bought a new house. If she hadn't taken the earlier train, she wouldn't have arrived on time. If I hadn't known it was your birthday, I wouldn't have bought a gift. Now, it may be weird to say those things, but I'm just saying you can do that for all of these. You can make them negatives to explore maybe how you would be now if something hadn't happened. So if I wouldn't have moved back to the United States when I did, I would be in Europe right now. Am I in Europe? No, I'm not in Europe. I'm in New York. But if I had, then I would be. So, or hadn't, then I would be. So we can explore things both sides. You can use the negatives too. I know that these are more complicated, especially the second and third, compared to the first, or the zero and the first. But getting a feeling for these with examples is really the key. You don't have to immediately get it. You can practice with examples. And that is what I would encourage you to do. So make your own examples. Play around with these. Try to get a feeling for how to use zero, first, second, and third conditionals on your own. Feel free to share those with me in the comments. If you haven't already done so, don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe, and also get a free course in the links in the description. Okay. All right. All right. All right. Well, we are going to look at one more topic, so bear with me. Alejandro says, "Hey Luke, your hairstyle looks like an electrifying one." Okay, apologies for that. My bad. If I learn English a lot, I will improve. You don't need to say get improved. You can simply say improve. If I study English a lot, I will improve. And that would be yes. You could phrase that either as the zero or first conditional. I don't know how you would react. Just reading these examples here. I don't know how you would react, but big fan of the... Oh, you weren't making an example. Oh my goodness, I thought you were making an example. Big fan of the way you teach. Huge respect. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. My first time watching your live. Happy. Oh, thank you so much, Miriam. I appreciate that. Hello. Welcome. Good to have you. Okay. We do have one other topic I want to talk about. I want to spend a little time talking about modeling. So we'll get into that shortly. If anybody has any questions about conditional specifically, I would be happy to answer those. That would be fine. Otherwise, I think we will get into it. Oh, where's my leaves? I thought I had a view with leaves before. There's a leaf. This plant has grown very slowly. I've had it for almost 2 years, and it's the same size that it has always been. Well, it's a little bigger, but it's growing very, very slowly. I don't know why. I don't know why. I'm not a very good plant grower, unfortunately. All right. Let me just wipe my nose here. There we go. Take a women's one a day prenatal. I'm sitting next to a big bookshelf. I'm not sure if you can see it, but some of these books are mine and some of these are my wife's. This one I haven't really got into much. This one is an old book that I bought recently, Encyclopedia of Mythology. So I'm looking forward to exploring this one a bit more. It has Babylonian mythology. It's got a lot of pictures. Greek mythology. A lot of Greek mythology. It's got every page has a lot of iconography and symbolism and statues and things. Celtic mythology. Pretty cool. I wonder if they have anything about Easter. Are there any stories about Easter in this? Let me see. I'm looking in the index here. CH. There we go. Ebo. EA. Enki. No. No Easter. Sorry. Eleusis, though. Got Eleusis. That's interesting. And then, let's see, what else do I have around me? This one. Finished this one recently. This one is about alchemy. That one's pretty good. Classic alchemical symbol, the snake eating its tail. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I'm interested in reading. I read a lot of books about alchemy and stuff. Alchemy, shamanism, symbols. How's your son and wife? Alejandro says, good. They're everybody's doing very well. My son Pymander is growing fast. He's eating solid foods. He's crawling around by himself, sitting up. He's going to be walking soon, I think. He's getting big. He's getting heavy. It's pretty cool to see him grow very fast. Very cool. It's kind of mind-blowing, actually, how fast they learn skills and can do things. They basically are just laying there. Just laying there, doing nothing except crying and eating and sleeping. And pooping. And that's about it. And then pretty soon, they're smiling. They start smiling. They start making more noises. They start rolling around a little bit. They start lifting up their heads. And slowly, day by day, they start learning new things. And pretty soon, you feel like you're not interacting with this little baby anymore, but you're interacting with just a person. So I'm starting to feel right now, he's going from that transition. He's now 8 months old. Going from that transition of being a baby to being a boy, a little boy. Now I feel like I'm interacting with a little boy. That's how I feel about it. Okay. If I watch your lives daily, I will improve my English skills. Miriam, I hope so. Unfortunately, I don't go live daily. Maybe I should try that for a week, just to go live daily and see what happens. I feel like planning topics would be a lot of hard work. I don't know if I have time for it, but it would be a cool experiment to try for sure. But you can go back and watch previous ones. I have many, many lives previously, so you can go back and review them. So many things covered in those lives. So, yeah, check that out. Okay. So we're going to get into modeling. And then I suppose we'll, yeah, sure, absolutely. And also the courses. I should mention, I have a many courses. You can find them on my website. You can get a 30% discount on those. They're not free, but they're not free for a reason, right? You know, when I make videos, which I also post pretty regularly, or do a podcast, there is planning, of course, and I'm you know, sharing what I hope is useful information, but that happens at a completely different level with courses. I have spent an entire year working on one course before. And so just the amount of work that goes into that to put together a really clear, useful, structured course is not an easy thing. And I think people get much more out of the courses. Again, no, they're not free, but I think the value is there as well. I think I've recently passed 50,000 reviews on the courses, which is a lot. Many of those are 5-star reviews, so worth checking out for sure, whether on my website or on Udemy. Either way. Okay. All right, let's get into modeling. Let's get into modeling, shall we? We often think of grammar as this very boring thing to learn. And one reason it's boring is because we have to learn all of these words. Subjunctive mood, preposition, adverbial phrase, coordinating conjunction, all of these things. What do these words mean? Why do I have to learn all these dumb words? I just want to know how to use English well. And I know that's also grammar, but I don't want it to be boring and I don't want to have to learn all these words. Okay, fine. Some people don't want to learn those words and I respect that. Well, let's talk about a way to do that. One way to do that is called modeling. Modeling is when you look at something that's there and then you take the key things from that and then make something else that follows the basic structure, follows the basic key things, right? So here's a great example. There is this way of telling stories. It's called the hero's journey. In fact, there's a book, I believe it's called The Hero with 1,000 Faces by Joseph Campbell. And in that book, he talks about how all of these mythological stories are the same. The names might be different. The details of the story, of the myth, might be different. What specifically happens might be different in each story. But they all share this common structure. A call to adventure, and then the young hero goes out. They face trials. They often meet a wise old teacher. They face an opponent or a demon or something. They lose. They come back. They learn something from the experience. They try again. They defeat the monster again, or they fight the monster and defeat the monster the second time. They gain something from that battle, and they bring it back to the village. It's this common sort of theme. Well, you could say that's also modeling. We're trying to look through the specifics to get at what is really happening with a sentence. What is really happening when people say something or write something? And what can we take out of it to then use to say what we need to say? Right? Same basic idea. So we're going to start with a sentence. And the sentence is kind of complicated. We're going to simplify the sentence to really try to understand the structure. And then we're going to model that simplified sentence. This is a way to learn grammar. You don't have to name anything. You don't have to label anything. You just notice what's going on. And then you try to do it yourself. And then you can even try to see if you can make it more complicated. See how many variations you can do. This is learning grammar. So let's look at our first sentence here. The first sentence, although many people fear that artificial intelligence will lead to widespread job displacement, others argue that it will create new opportunities for innovation and employment in sectors yet to be imagined. Now, at first glance of that, we might say, oh my God, it's too hard. That's complicated. What's going on? Well, the first realization that you have to have is that just because a sentence is long or has big words does not mean that it is grammatically difficult. That is a very important thing to understand. Just because a sentence is long or has big words does not mean that it is difficult from a grammar standpoint. It might be pretty simple. So, okay, I'm going to notice a few things. Although, I know that although kind of means but. Although something, 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 blah, blah, blah. Then there's a comma here. Okay, comma there. Others argue. Argue? What? Well, I can start to simplify words. Although some people fear that artificial intelligence will, maybe I change lead to cause. Just play around with this and sort of notice the structure. See if you can simplify words. Widespread job displacement, kind of a long way to say job loss, and just cross that whole thing out, I don't even know, then keep the comma. So, although many people fear that AI will cause job loss. Okay, well, that's simpler, but I haven't changed the structure. That's the same basic thing, right? It starts with although, and it goes before the comma, and it's kind of a comment that's going to be against the next thing I say. Others, now we have a new thought here, like a new sentence almost. Others argue that it will create new opportunities for innovation. Maybe I could change opportunities to chances for innovation and jobs in sectors, in areas yet to be imagined, in areas we haven't thought of yet. Okay, so I'm just kind of poking around, and I'm just noticing which things are because it's big words and which things are the actual structure. So the first thing that you want to do is simplify. And you try to create a similar paragraph or sentence that holds the same meaning but is simpler so that you can just see the basic structure. We could call it the bones. I just want to get down to the bones. I want to hold on to the meaning of the sentence, and I want to get down to the bones. So let's see what a variation of this could look like. Again, what I'm trying to do is keep the meaning, keep the structure, but simplify. Even though, same thing, even though some worry that AI might take over many jobs, there's my comma, right? Same structure. Even though is there, it's kind of against the next thing here. Others think that it will create new opportunities in areas we haven't thought of. So that's a lot shorter, a lot simpler, but the grammar is the same. Now we say, okay, so what is this grammar? This grammar is kind of like, I have this whole thing that's almost like a sentence, but it's not, that goes in front of the comma. I could say what that's called, but I'm going to avoid doing it. It's very hard to not say it, but I'm going to not say what it is. It's basically a statement that sets up the next thing, which is usually the main thing I want to say. And it always goes before a comma, followed immediately by the main thing. Others think that it will create new opportunities. That's the main thing, right? And I might say, well, could I use other words here? Like, while some might think, or as we said, although. Yes, absolutely. So I could maybe look at other words that I might put there. This is, by the way, this is a terrible while. Let me write that again for you. W-H-I-L-E. Okay. So, yeah, we can put other words there. One thing that we can't change is this. And then this, others think that. And then after others think that, I could say what they think. And it should be something that's different from this. That's what while or although or even though means, that it's kind of going against that. It's similar in meaning to but, except it's going at the start, right? Okay, so then I just make a statement after that that is kind of against the first thing I said, right? And it's this starting with others think that is kind of the main statement that I'm trying to make. And if I wanted to, I could maybe say, I could make a whole sentence. I could get rid of this whole thing. I could just get rid of all of this like that. And I could say, people think that, and replace that with AI. People think that AI will create new opportunities in areas we haven't thought of. Well, that's just a sentence. Oh, okay. So what I've realized is that I can just make a sentence with a statement, and then all I have to do if I want to say something against that statement is put a comma in front of it and make that other statement that goes against it, starting with although, even though, while, or sometimes whereas. Okay, now what we do, now that we're doing, again, we're just kind of looking at it and playing with it and noticing things. All we're trying to do is figure out what is the structure. And once you know that, then you can get rid of the meaning. So what we first did is we noticed and then we simplified. We got it down to the bones. Once we have the simplified version and we feel pretty comfortable with what the structure is, this statement, sentence, with a comma in front of it, and then another statement that goes against it, that is not a complete sentence. Once we understand that, then we can start to say totally different things. Now we could talk about llamas, we could talk about books, we could talk about anything using that same structure. So this is the modeling part. This is the part where we model. To model is to take the original thing and not copy it, but come up with something new which uses the basic essence of it, the basic structure, the core. Okay, so let's now do that. So we get rid of this, and now we go to our next sentence, and we'll see if it's similar. See what we notice. Even though some critics argue that modern art lacks depth, comma, others see it as an exploration of new perspectives and emotions in ways that weren't possible before. Is this about AI? No, it's about art now. So the topic is totally different. We've changed the topic. We're writing about something else. But what can we say about this? Well, we can say that it's the exact same structure. We have a sentence, a complete sentence. If we get rid of others, we might say, and we have to also replace it so that people know what we're talking about. People see what? Modern art, because that's what we're talking about. So let's just pretend that this even though part is not there. People see modern art as an exploration of new perspectives or ideas and emotions in ways that weren't possible before. Okay, sounds like a sentence with an opinion exploring modern art. Now, I want to say another thing that kind of goes against it. So I will replace modern art here with the word it. And now I'm going to say the topic in the previous part here. Because when you are talking about something, you want to introduce what you're talking about first. Then you can replace that, right, with a pronoun like it, for example. You don't have to say it twice. So now we make a statement that's not a complete sentence that goes against the main opinion that we have, the main sentence. We introduce the topic we're talking about, and we start it with a word like although, which tells us that it's going against it. Even though, although. Although some critics argue that modern art lacks depth, comma, very important, others see it as an exploration. So there you have it. A modeled sentence using the same grammar. We haven't talked about even once what anything is called. I don't think I have. Hopefully not. We haven't mentioned grammar names. All we've done is look at sentences. That's all we've done. That's the key thing. The shift from the simplified sentence to the sentence with a different meaning is the modeled sentence. Now, if you want to take it a step further, you can then try to make that new sentence more complex. I would call this an optional exercise if you choose. Same basic meaning, but now we're now adding juice to our new meaning by making it sound more complicated and adding big words. Optional. Although some detractors argue that contemporary art forms are devoid of genuine meaning, comma, proponents advocate... Oh, I think that this shouldn't be here. Sorry. It might be my error here. I think we should... Put a slash there to say advocate or put forward. We could choose advocate, put forward the idea... that it makes possible uncharted emotional landscapes and perspectives offering insights into the human condition previously unimaginable. Well, same basic idea, right? Except now it's kind of long and complicated and has big words. Again, do that or don't do it. For the sake of play, maybe fun to try to do. I think the key thing is to model sentences and... start with the simple version so that you're just focusing on the structure and use that as a way to learn new grammar, new patterns, new structures that you can then start to use when you speak, to start to use when you write, and that makes you powerful as a communicator. All of this without learning complicated grammar words. All of this without studying grammar, right? So, try it out. Let me know how it goes. Let me know if you have any questions. If you haven't already done so, don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe. And also get a free course in the links in the description. All right. Okay. Hopefully useful. I think that one is, it's a very powerful way to learn grammar for sure. Sometimes I don't understand long sentences. Yeah, exactly. Because you have to figure out what's the line, why do I not understand this long sentence because it has big words, or do I not understand this long sentence because it's grammatically very complicated, right? You've got to figure that out. And the best way to do it is to simplify. And once you simplify, you see, oh, the grammar is not too hard. I can understand what's going on, and I can make another version. And that's how you do that. Yep, you're using patterns, exactly. Teacher, I'm unable to improve my English speaking skills. What should I do, teacher? Please give me some advice. I would say find opportunities that push you outside of your comfort zone. If speaking is the issue and you know enough English already, words, grammar, etc., then the issue is to push yourself, get into situations that are difficult. Join a speaking club, join a book club, get a job that forces you to use English. All of the things that you can do to push yourself outside of your comfort zone. Generally, we don't get much better when we just sit there and try to do things ourselves without some external pressure. Having external pressure is huge. To have other people listening to you, right? To have other people expecting things from you. If you work in a job that is an all English environment and people are talking to you every day and you have to report things and you have to give presentations, you will get better. You have to, right? If you're not good enough, you must get better. It's a sink or swim situation. You want to put yourself in sink or swim situations and force yourself to swim. Because if you don't, it's easy to just kind of get back into what's comfortable. And when you do that, you're not really getting better. You're not really improving, right? The other thing I would say is a great way to do that, in my opinion, is a channel. I think people should start a YouTube channel, find a topic that you love, that's interesting, make videos, get on camera, force yourself to talk, use English. You will get better. You'll get comments. You'll feel pressure. It has all of the great benefits, I think, of sink or swim with external pressure, but it's also not tied to your livelihood, right? It can be fun. It can be interesting. So I think everyone should start a YouTube channel. Okay. All right. Anything else? All right. Well, folks, friends, neighbors, citizens, I hope you have a fantastic Easter if you enjoy that sort of thing, if you celebrate. If you don't, have a fantastic not Easter then. Well, it is Easter. Have a great Easter. Have a great Sunday. How about that? Have a great whenever you're watching this or listening to this, if you're not watching live. If you want to watch the podcast live, then make sure to follow or subscribe on YouTube or Facebook. And if you haven't already done so, do hit the like button, subscribe. If you are listening, I would appreciate very much if you could go to the rating part of, for example, Spotify or Apple Podcasts and give it a 5-star review. That is a big help. Just go over there, click 5 stars. That's a huge help. If you're watching and you would like to listen, sometimes you're on a walk, maybe you're playing badminton, or you're, demolishing a 13th century stone villa, or you're chopping down trees with your Aunt Sally, whatever it is, and you want to listen, that's great. You can do that in the links in the description. If you're listening and you want to watch, you can also find that in the links in the description. The links are all there, okay? And also, free course, links in the description. That's the top link. And the membership is there too. 30% off, paid monthly. So it's the yearly membership price, right? You can get 30% off every month for the first 12 months. After that, it goes back to regular price. And you get access to all the courses. The only thing you don't get is a one-on-one evaluation with me. If you want to get that, you have to sign up for the yearly membership. Okay? All right. Well, I think that's it. Thanks, everybody. I hope you learned something. I hope you enjoyed it. I appreciate you for being here. I appreciate your questions. We'll see you next time. Take care, everybody. Bye. Oh, wait. Is bye here? Is Pymander here?
Yeah.
Come on. Pymander. There he is. Here he comes. Here he comes. Bye-bye. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. You want to come up?
Yo, 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 yo. He called you, by the way.
He did? What did he say? How did he call? How did you know he was called? Oh, he called me on FaceTime?
Yeah.
Pie. Somebody's here. Oh, it's the Wii order?
I don't think so. It's another order.
Pie, pie. What do you think? What do you think about all this? Can you see yourself? I heard you called me on FaceTime. How did you... How is it that you always figure out how to do things so quickly? You can do things that I don't even know how to do on a computer. Pymander, we're going to go, you know what we're going to do next? We're going to go to the park. We're going to go to the park, Pie. We're going to go for a walk. What do you think about that? No, I don't want you, if you touch my screen, you're going to destroy things for sure. All right. You okay? His face got red there for a second. You all right, Pie? You okay? He's trying to destroy. All right, Pie. You ready to call it a day? You ready? See everybody. We're gonna go play. Bye-bye.